And now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Get over to the phones right now. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Is this Chatsworth? Hello.
Yeah. How you doing, Phil?
Good.
I'm a little bit nervous, but you've got a great show. I really enjoy listening to it.
Thank you very much. What's up?
Well, I'm a little bit nervous, but I wanted to ask you about the kid that that stole the
All right, now what I want you to do there, pal, is what's your name?
It's RC.
Okay, RC, slow down, and I know you're a little bit nervous.
I've never been to be called the talk radio show. I listen to K-Rock.
Yeah, it's a good station.
I listen to the Swedish Eagle and Jed the Fish.
Okay, that's good. But now you're on the talk show, so I guess you got to talk to us. And
I'm a little bit nervous.
Okay. Slow down. Take a deep breath. Good. Go ahead.
I wanted to call in and see if you.
All right, look, just slow down. It's a very disquieting thing to call a talk. Are you in the middle of a room?
I'm at school.
Well, it sounds like there's people moving around. Can you get to a quieter? Maybe they're making you nervous.
I'm on my cell phone.
All right. Go ahead.
Did you see in the newspaper?
Okay, hold on. Did I see in the newspaper?
Yeah.
Okay. Was it a story?
Yeah.
Okay, what was it?
The kid that stole the kid that...
Do you stutter or something, man?
No. I'm just a little bit nervous.
I know, because you sound very conversant. The kid that stole what?
Did you see in the paper
Wait a minute, man. Slow down. Take a deep breath. Hold on. Tell David to hold on. Slow down and take a deep breath.
I mean, I'm not trying to mess you up or anything. I really like your show.
I know you do, pal.
I really think you're funny, and I really like it a lot.
I know you do, buddy. I appreciate that. You want me to comment on a news story, right?
Yeah.
What is it?
The kid that stole the...
Why can't you say you've got the kid that stole the what? What was it that he stole? What does David want? Tell him to hold on. The kid that stole the what? Okay, that's good. Sing it. Like, remember in The Fish Called Wanda?
No.
Okay, that's probably too baby boomer. Well, in the movie, they say if you had a stutter, you sing it. The kid that stole the what?
The sing it? I don't know what you...
Just the kid that stole the what?
The kid that stole the kid that stole...
Come on, man. What did he steal? If you want... I'm already upset. What does he want? What does David want? Put him on. David?
What are you doing?
I'm talking to...
Is this David Hall?
Yes, it is. I'm the vice president of syndication, kid. What are you doing to him?
I'm not doing anything to him.
Why do I turn my radio on right off the bat and hear you yelling?
I'm not a bad person, Mr. Hall.
I know you're not, son. I'm just talking to the host right now, okay?
I didn't say anything bad.
I know you didn't.
I didn't say the kid said anything bad.
Well, why are you treating him like this? Do you remember that...
What, treating him like what?
Do you remember the meeting we had last week, the whole staff, and I said, treat your callers like customers. They're customers to your store. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
Did you have the memo?
I got the memo.
Go get it.
David.
Get the memo.
I didn't do anything, Mr. Hall.
I know you didn't, son.
Do you want me...
Go get the memo. You're still on the mic.
Hold on for a minute.
How are you?
I'm fine, sir. I called in to talk about the skull. I wanted to talk about a kid that stole a skull.
All right, well, that seemed, I can understand that. What's wrong with Henry? Henry, you there?
Yeah, I'm getting it. Here it is.
Read it.
Remember that your callers like customers. Let's treat all of our customers the way you would treat any customer coming into your store. He is there to purchase something and is deserving of good customer service. I read all of that, David.
Why are you out of breath?
Because I had to run down to the office and get it.
So treat this kid like he's a customer.
I'm a customer.
Okay, I'm treating him like a customer. Go ahead, kid.
Did you see the kid that the... He stole the...
Come on, kid.
Well, no, there you go. You're yelling at him. So you're making him nervous.
He's making me nervous.
Why don't you just calm down and quit making the kid feel nervous?
David, I am trying...
Go get a drink of water.
What?
Go get a drink of water.
Why?
To calm you down.
I got a show to do here, man.
I'll take it over. Go ahead.
Hold on.
I don't know what's wrong with him.
It's just about the kid that stole the skull. That's all.
I can understand everything you're saying.
I know.
It must be him.
I guess so.
You back?
Okay, I had a drink of hot water.
All right, go ahead. Do it like you're doing the show.
Do it like you're doing the show. Okay. What did the kid steal?
You're making him nervous. Something about you.
I'm not doing a thing. I'm sitting here. I'm asking the kid, what did he steal? What did the kid steal?
What did he steal?
A skull.
He stole a skull.
I heard him.
Well, apparently you can't talk to him. Go ahead. Talk directly to him.
What did he steal?
The.
All right, talk to me.
The skull.
The skull.
Why can't you talk to me? You're talking to him.
I.
Talk to me.
I don't know.
He doesn't know.
You don't know. So now all of a sudden I need an interpreter on this freaking call that I got.
And watch that language.
What language?
That F word.
Oh, it's freaking.
I know. Everybody says that, and I don't like it. Watch your tone with this kid, okay? Now say very close, very carefully, what did the kid steal?
What did the kid steal?
He stole a...
He stole a skull, Phil.
He stole a skull. Okay.
Don't you think that's cool?
Well, what do you think? Don't you think it's cool? Open it up to the callers.
What am I going to open up to the callers?
Open it up. Don't you think that kid that stole that skull, what did he do with it?
He made it into a candle holder in his bedroom. It was bitching.
He made it into a candle.
I heard what he said, okay?
Well, talk to the kid.
What did he make it into?
He.
You better ask him.
What did he make it into?
A candle holder.
A candle holder.
Okay. So he made it into a candle holder.
Don't you think that's bitching?
What's bitchin'?
Answer the question. You're the host.
I got it, okay. I mean, no, I don't think it's bitchin'.
Why not?
Because I don't think... What do you mean he stole a skull?
Where'd he steal it, kid?
Out of a vault. Somebody's crypt, like a mausoleum or something.
Stole it out of a...
I got it. He stole it out of a vault or a mausoleum. So he grave robbed.
Huh?
He grave robbed. He stole somebody's skull.
Did he grave rob and steal somebody's skull?
Oh, yeah, that's what he did.
What do you think?
What do you want me to think? I mean, the kid stole a skull and made it into a candle holder.
Don't you think that's cool?
What do you think? Don't you think it's cool?
No, I don't think it's cool, okay? And I don't think that...
I got to really calm it down here, Phil. This is a kid. He's 16 years old. I mean, he's right the target demo. Tell the kid that you think it's cool.
What, stealing a skull and making a candle holder out of it?
That's right.
Don't you think it's cool?
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I knew there was a reason why I listened to you.
What?
You.
You, me. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Yes, I think it's cool.
Now open it up.
Open it up to what?
Calls.
I'm not doing that, man. I'm not asking people.
Ask them if they think it's cool.
Yeah, I want to know if people think it's cool that a kid stole
a skull.
And made.
Made it.
Into
candle holder. What kid stole what skull? I still don't know what he's talking about. I'm 15 minutes into the show and I'm sweating like a horse. Okay, don't you think it's cool the kid stole a candle holder and made it into a skull? Craig Taylor thinks it is. Great. Your thoughts. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
JoeWolf.com. I'd like you to just keep that in mind. This is a young fan of ours in Salt Lake City, I believe in the Salt Lake City area. It's www.josephwolf.com. He was in a terrible accident in January, and He is in a coma. He's 10 years old, I think, 10 or 11, and still been kind of touch and go for him. So visit the site and leave a nice message for Joseph Wolf. He's a nice kid, and they seem to be a very nice family. Now, here in Los Angeles, if you step out onto the street, as I do many afternoons, what I'll do here is step out onto the highway, onto the byway. We're here at the corner of Ventura and Sepulveda on the very edges of what is called the San Fernando Valley. And I'll stand and I'll watch and the passing parade of humanity. Like, for instance, the other day, I saw a man's car stall at a red light, and a very nice Good Samaritan pulled up next to him, and he had jumper cables in the back of his truck, and he got out, and while this old man whose car had stalled popped the hood, this guy jumped out, got the cables going, and for his trouble, everybody in cars behind him were leaning on their horns as if the sound of the horns would suddenly make the electricity speed through the cables faster, get to the batteries, re-energize whatever the alternator, and that's what you got to do. Lean on your horn a lot. Show everybody that you are a raging moron, and that'll make everything just move along like quick. The horn is a wonderful thing. It just makes things go faster, doesn't it? You know, horns made things go faster. Hell, I'd use it. I'd use one. I don't know. I never use the horn anymore. I say the horn. I didn't say never use my horn anymore because, but I never use the car horn anymore. And for reasons that I think are fairly clear, it doesn't work. The horn doesn't work. It works for things like, oh my God, look out, there's a speeding locomotive coming. And then maybe. But it doesn't work for things like, can you move your car through the intersection faster? Would you be more considerate a driver? You hurt my feelings. All of those things just lead to one thing and one thing only, gunplay on the freeways of Los Angeles. So there I was standing watching the Parade of Humanity, and what we're seeing a lot here, and probably in Philadelphia there's a variation of this, we see a lot of Laker flags, and I'm just wondering whether or not there is any radio station in town that's doing the obvious promotion, hey, decorate your car with the most Laker flags. You win tickets to the game. Is anybody doing that yet? Somebody. I saw one, a record-breaking one today. The guy must have had 9, 10 flags on his car. And I swear to God, Craig, he had 9 or 10 flags all on antennae. And in the back, he had like a purple and gold mannequin of some kind. I don't know what that would look like, a tiki god painted gold or purple or so, whatever that the Laker colors are. Oh, I'm sorry, Forum Blue, or, you know, and there he goes, tearing ass down the street. So they ought to have some kind of a contest to see how many Laker flags you can cram onto a car. And do you put bumper stickers on your car? I don't see that in too many bumper stickers anymore, but when I do, they're generally silly-looking things, you know, like Bush, Cheney, stuff like that, really stupid things. No, I see things, mostly it just has to do with abortion. The only bumper stickers I see anymore are having to do with God, children, unborn, something. And then I pull up next to the guy because I always want to get a good look at the people that drive cars with bumper stickers. And it's always some strange, sour-looking person. And they live in a house and they sleep in a bed, but they look like they sleep outdoors. All right, so anyway, that's what's going on here. And along with all of the Laker fun and frivolity that's happening is Adelphia Cable and the outages they had during Sunday's game in Sherman Oaks and Studio City. Let's hear it for the cable companies because they aren't going to be hearing it much longer. They're on their way out, man, in very large ways. Adelphia Cable in the Valley, about halfway through the ball game. Thank God I got on DirecTV last year, okay? I'm one of the few remaining holdouts. First thing we did when we moved where we moved was, can we get cable? And when they said, no, there is no cable here, it said, well, the answer is obvious for me. I'm going to go get a satellite dish. And it was a blessing. It was a blessing like none that I had ever received before. And I got my dish, and I've never had a problem. One night, I was getting a scrambled signal, and I was thinking, God, that DirecTV. And then I went around. See, my satellite dish is near the ground, and there was a bush that had grown up in front of it. But I didn't know this. I thought it was like rainwater or something. I spent all night like wiping the rainwater off of this dish. And it turned out, what you ought to do, Henry, is like trim the bushes so they don't turn into this gnarled mass in front of the dish. But I got rid of that, and it's beautiful now. But Schaefer, at his house, he lost his coverage. And then he calls, and this is what he gets. Now, the people at the cable company have got to understand this by now. They have to understand two things. really how reviled they are. And it's, I know it's through no fault of your own. It's just, it's an antiquated system. It's going to be gone very soon, and I don't know whether they stay in business just to siphon the few remaining dollars that are left in the pockets of the poor cable schmucks that are out there, whether they have some sadistic intent. Let's keep it going as long as we can, then halfway through the Super Bowl, pull the plug. Is it that? What? I don't know. But through one of the more rollicking basketball games of the season, Game 3, a pivotal game, everybody watching it, knowing that it was going to be pivotal for both teams, the cable goes out. Is it usage? It must be usage. You see, I'm trying to find every reason having to do with, you know, in other words, they have good intent there. And that they're not just purposely, because the mind goes there. When your cable goes out in the third quarter of the third game of the NBA Finals, in a blood match, in a war, in a bloodletting between the Lakers and the Sixers, you have to suspect somebody's screwing with you. Some guy with a wrench in his back pocket, a baseball cap on backwards, eating a bologna sandwich in a truck somewhere, going, on, off, on, off. He's got a little switch on a box. Click, 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 click. Up and down. You got to believe it, right? But I, not me, not this, not the kid here. I got to believe that they're, whatever's going on, they're on their way out. So Schaefer calls him up. Anybody would. Jesus, where's my cable? Cat calls him up and gets, and this is the thing where I think you overreacted, Mike, because he came storming into my office. Money says, Jesus, the cable company, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to kill somebody. I'm going to throw something through a window. I said, what's wrong? Well, the thing went out of there. I said, did you call him? He said, yeah. I said, what did you get? He said, I got a recording that said, for customers in the Sherman Oaks and Studio City areas, we're experiencing outages. Bye. And then when they hung up, I said, see? He said, see what? That's a perfectly well-executed, very clear, audially clear recording. They did it very nicely. I got a way to go with that recording. You cats did it. You did it good. And all over the city today, they're talking about what a great recording it was when you called up to find out what happened to the game. You got patience. That's why it happened to you. If it had happened to me, there'd have been bodies being thrown out the front door. There would have been L.A. County Sheriff, me inside, 5 days' worth of beard, bodies going out the front door. And I remember back in the early days of cable when there was a pivotal series between the Dodgers and Braves, back when I watched baseball, and I got the blackout thing on my screen. This is before they didn't know whether they blacked out games. It was really squirrely in the early days of cable, especially like when the Dodgers had a home game against a real good team like the Braves. And you'd sit there and go, are they going to black it out? Are they not? Nobody knows. We're not sure. What's the coverage? Where do they live? The Braves, yes, it's blacked out for over the air, but what has that got to do with cable? The rules, the law wasn't formulated. And you should have seen this. One night, they blacked it out. So my friends and I, fueled by, oh, all right, a couple of margaritas, we went down to the cable office at like 10 o'clock at night. It was like the villagers with torches trying to burn Frankenstein out. There's like six guys going, hey! Hey! And it's dark inside. There's no one there. And we're standing, hey, what's that? And there's a guy inside, like a night watchman. What do you want? I want the damn game is what I want. I didn't do anything bad. I didn't do that bad. What? I'm the night watchman. Bull crap. Turn that game back on.
I'm calling the police. You don't get out of here.
What?
I'm calling the police. You don't get out.
I can't hear you. Come out here. I'll call the police. You go, oh, okay. So anyway, good for you, Schaefer, that you're able to keep your good humor about it. If it were me, it might have started World War VI. Forget 3. We'd skip 3, 4, and 5. We're going right for World War VI, intergalactic space. So watch this. Come Wednesday night, my DirecTV dish will somehow get all that squirrel meat that goes on, you know, that pixelated stuff. You can't see anything, and I'll go outside. My gardener hasn't done his job. See, this is the thing with me. I got a satellite dish that's 3 feet off the ground. Why? Because the guy told me that it would be more direct to the phone line, and you wouldn't have all that cabling running up. And by the way, Mr. Henry, you don't need your satellite dish on the roof of your house. Why is that? Because the satellite's 30,000 miles in the air. It doesn't make any difference. 12 feet. So put it near the ground. I put it near the ground. I got a freaking hedge growing up in front of it. Now I kill my gardener. So I love DirecTV, and I even think Adelphia Cable's okay, but a guy that trims my lawn is going to die. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
Yes, this is Harvey Wyman. I'm an attorney, retired criminal defense attorney. I have a permanent wedge of phlegm jabbed in my throat, and I have bowel problems, and I was created by Phil Hendry. Oh, Christ.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. I'm going to go over to Alhambra while we have the caller holding. Alhambra, hello.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Good.
Mr. Hendry, I wanted to direct your attention to today's Los Angeles Times. The United States Army is introducing a Black Beret.
Okay.
And I wanted to get some commentary on that about the beret.
Didn't see the story, sir. No, Mike's giving it to me. A small group gathered around Army Lieutenant Colonel Steve Campbell's Pentagon desk as he tried to show on his Black Beret. Under Army Regulation 61, soaking and shaving the headgear that officially became part of the Army uniform is unauthorized, but that makes... Okay.
This is a branch of the United States...
Okay, you'll need to back off the phone.
This is a branch of the United States military, of the armed forces of the United States. And the Army regulations state that homosexual personnel, you may not ask if they are homosexual, and they do not have to tell. Now, this was instituted back... during the Clinton years.
Yes, don't ask, don't tell, homosexuality. How are we going from there?
And they're introducing a beret. You see, what I...
Okay, your point is what? That the beret is somehow betraying the...
In my opinion, the beret betrays the heterosexual values of the Army. A beret? Holy Christ. You know, I was...
Well, look at, sir, you know...
I was in the United States Navy, and that...
The Army has introduced a beret as standard issue for its enlisted people, and that means what? That means...
We've spent the last 8 years trying to keep the homosexual from infiltrating the morale and weakening the morale, and now the Army does an about-face, if you will, and introduces... some of the fancy gear like a beret. The fancy boy headgear, which...
You think a beret is gay? You think it...
I think it is a very definite statement of the homosexual lifestyle to which we certainly have heard so much commentary as of late. Now, the other thing that I wanted to say was that I'm a veteran of the military... And I find it very curious that now, with Bush in office, he's promoting this the homosexual wear.
And okay, so the Army has got a beret, and it's the homosexual wear.
That's right. Why say don't ask, don't tell when you have them walking around the way they're dressed in the Greenwich Village and all of the nonsense?
All right, put this other guy up here, Mike.
Did you say?
No, just hold on. Put the other guy up. Okay, your name's what?
My name's Lloyd, Phil.
All right, hold on. And the caller here? Hello?
Yeah, Phil, my name's Jeff Gatter. I want to make a comment about...
Hold on for a minute. Everybody back off the phone.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Mr. Henry, my name's Jeff Gatter. I live in Pasadena, California. I really, really had to make a statement about this guy because he's so way off base. You were in the Navy.
That is correct, yes.
All right. I mean, are you telling me that the hats they wear aren't gay as the day is long? I mean, dude...
You watch where... Oh, well, you dirty...
Yeah, that's right, man. How do you like me now? How do you like me now?
And you're talking about the United States Navy. I was a veteran of the...
Yeah, but you're criticizing the Army because...
Gentlemen, just calm it down a little bit.
Criticizing the Army because of beret wear.
And I find it to be pseudo-queer that the United
Yes.
Have you ever seen Navy pants?
My brother was in the Navy. He came home with them.
Okay. They have three buttons. You ought to see the way it makes your junk look wearing those pants. And the Navy guys wear them when they go off of the boat to the shore area where there's no water. And they like dudes checking their junk out.
Now, you hold on. I don't know what you mean by junk, but I think you're talking about a man's genitalia. And
can we have this discussion maybe be a bit more genteel in terms of what... You forget about junk, okay?
I'm telling you, Navy, pants are junk wear. They're simply junk wear.
What are you talking about the fancy Army Beret?
The Army Beret? Dude, Airborne's worn it for years. Green Berets, you ever heard of Green Beret? Or are you too busy wearing junk wear to the Hong Kong port of call so you can think...
Hold your horses, hold... Mr. Henry, I was in the Navy, and I never, ever looked at myself in a mirror with the three buttons. Yes, okay, they did make your, they made you look a little more hung than you.
Okay, look at guys, I'm not going to get this discussion off into the area of how sexy Navy pants are, or whether the new Army Beret is gay wear. Now, they got a don't ask, don't tell, and, you know... Maybe that'll help camouflage a few guys. You know, everybody's going to be wearing a beret in the Army now, so how are you going to tell? You can't. I can't tell those guys thank you very much. Give them a cassette. Give them a CD. Tell them to bug off. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up, we've got a heavyweight fight between Timothy McVeigh and God. That's next over most of these stations on The Phil Henry Show. And we were sitting here, actually, we were just sitting here talking about 70s music, because some of the music that we roll during our break is fairly anachronistic 70s sounding. I don't want to call it disco, but I think you know the... Can you just roll an example of that, Craig? This is what we roll during our commercials. During our commercial breaks, so that radio stations who are, you know, carrying the show know that we're still here. We used to roll really cool music, but now this is what you get to hear. Anyway, I don't know, I just, for some reason, the Charlie's Angels bouncing down the street, doesn't it sound like that? So then Craig says to me, well, you know, you ought to listen to Chip's music, Stoned. And I said, what? He said, yeah, the music from Chips, just for the music alone, is awesome. And I thought, well, that's, I'm not going to try it, but I'm not going to watch that show ever again. I'm sorry, but I'm just going to take your word for that. But there ought to be, I bet you there is a decent market. I don't know if there's a decent market. I what is radio station production geeks who would go in for the complete soundtrack to Chips? I don't know. And that guitar thing, and you know the jokes we make about the porno music from the 70s, which we've been playing when every time Jeff Dowder calls up. And now the kids, now I had to bust on the kids the other day, because they're walking around the house going, hey, did you see Melanie at school? Yeah. They start doing this wah-wah guitar thing. You know, this is suddenly code. Now, there's the 11 and the 13 and the 15-year-old, and... And it's like I wanted to bust them, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it, right? And I don't know if they've been listening to the show, because we had Jeff Dowder on that time. Or not was Dowder, it was Chris Norton with that wah, 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 that kind of wah-wah. I don't know where I can, if I can find that. I think I'll look for it here in the, it's under phone loop, isn't it, man? It's under music. You guys know what I'm talking about, or if you don't, you're going to soon find out. And... it's music that was played primarily under the visuals, the stunning visuals of porno films. You know this stuff. We had it one day on the air. Jesus. That must be very difficult to keep hitting just two chords. And then the guy comes in with the organ. And when I say the guy comes in with the organ, I mean the kind with the black and white keys. Got to be coming in here any minute now. Somebody with an organ's going to be hitting the scene. Isn't that great? All right, so the kids are walking around the house. Okay, what's that? What? I didn't do it. You know what I'm talking about, man. What is that? And then they played dumb because they know I'm, you know, they know I know what. Because the whole trip is you got to know whether they're looking at porn or not, man. I mean, I told the guys the other day, I sat down, the two older guys, I said, look, and I mean this, you guys are not in trouble with me if you're interested in seeing a woman naked. You're not in any trouble. You're not in any trouble with me if you've seen pictures of naked women. Yeah, there's no problem here, man. You just can't bring it into the house. That's all there is to it. Like, I think I told you guys this, right? And you can't go on any sites, otherwise you're busted. And that's all there is to it. So now they're walking around like, wah, oh, wah, oh, wah. Where did you hear that? I don't know. It's just, you know, it's just a sound. Oh, don't give me that. What do you mean it's just a sound? You were talking about a good-looking girl at school. Her name's Melanie, right?
Yeah.
And then you went, oh, wah, oh. And then you went, Craig's got to find it again, okay? He's been watching Chip's soundtrack. You know, he's smoking, so. And then, okay. So every, don't keep it going, man, because I may need it, all right? So in other words, every time they talk about this girl, Melanie, they all together go. I said, where'd you hear that?
Oh, nothing.
Nothing? What does that mean, man?
What does what mean?
When you talk about this girl, you go. Okay.
Well, it's just something we heard. It's like a thing, you know. It's just a.
It's like a thing. You're busted. It's porn music. It's the music from porn movies.
Well, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about this music here. I'm hearing coming out of your bedroom at night. Now, that's a movie. That's a porn.
No, it isn't.
What is it?
It's a Chips episode.
Bullcrap. Chips episode. Every time I hear. You guys are talking about girls.
No, we're not. We're talking about Laverne and Shirley.
There wasn't no Laverne and Shirley episode with that. So on and on I went, and finally, I never did. I think I was able to pin him down finally. I said, look at guys. Come on, man. I give him the old speech, you know. There isn't a game invented that I didn't play. You know, all that bull crap. I spilt more than you drunk. You know, I invented all the games you're playing. Blah, 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 which is all wrong, but, you know, I say it. And I said, look, you guys, I know for a fact that that is relative. You are making a commentary relative to adult films. And then they look at me and go, huh? You know what I'm saying. So if you're looking at that stuff, you're not allowed to look at the stuff. It's like we got called to the school one time because they had found in the older kid's bag music that sounded like. No, I'm kidding. They found notes that they'd been passing back and forth. And there was the T word. And I think there was the P word. And there was a C word in there somewhere, okay? And these were notes. And the teacher is freaking out, and she's flipping her lid, and she's going to lose her wig, man. And she called in all parties concerned, from the father to the dad to the stepdad to the stepmother to the stepuncles and the uncles and the brothers and sisters. And everybody came in to discuss the heaviosity of finding in his bag. And this note that they've been passing back and forth, oh, Christ, we got to sit down there. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And the poor kid comes in. And he's sitting there, he's in tears. And she's, the teacher is laying on, she's laying this out. And I said, this is not cool. She said, I didn't say it's not cool to her, but I'm thinking this is not cool. She said, I don't think a 14-year-old boy should know words like that. And I'm thinking, there isn't a 14-year-old boy in the world that doesn't know those words. And if he doesn't know the words, he better get out there and learn them right now. I said, do you know those words? I don't know all of them. Well, get out there and learn them. You got to learn all that because it's normal, man, for a kid that age to know those words. So I interjected after she'd gone on this whole long spiel, and it was very female. Forgive me, ladies, I don't mean all of you, but it's a very female orientation to say, you know, this is an affront and offense and a thing. You make the kid feel like he's a freaking war criminal. You know that there's women being victimized, and this is objectifying women, and it's sexualizing a young man. And all of the baloney that just these kids, I mean, they're choking on it. And you can't just sit down with a kid and say, look, I know you know the words, and I know you know that sometimes when you hear, it ain't a Charlie's Angels episode, and it's cool. You just can't do it in school, man. There's places where you don't do it, right? You don't do it in front of your teachers. You don't do it in front of your sister. It's just this female students. So when I finally was able to open my big bazoo and say that, I said it. I don't know whether anybody got it or not. All they knew was... You know, I'm thinking about the school principal right now, and I'm thinking... And it just ain't making it. So I said, forgive me, but it's my opinion that as a young 14-year-old, he's going to know these words. I mean, he's just, it's normal. And I mean all of them. F, C, CF, FC, FIC, FDIC, CC, FCC, all of the filthy words. FCC, FDA, all of them. FBI, CPA, they're going to learn these things. And what are you going to do? Are you going to say, no, you're not supposed to be in the world? You're not supposed to cover your ears every time you go into a place that's playing? Or are you just supposed to pull the 20s out, make them into ones, and let's have a, you know, good time? Can I have change for a 20, please? Any boy who by the age of 18 doesn't know what change for a 20 means, he better start learning. Okay. May I have the orientation, and I don't know how to come at this without sounding like a dumbass man by the same, but you can't do that to a kid. You can't make a boy of 14 feel like he's raped somebody, that he's assaulted somebody, that he's committed a horrific sin against nature because he passed a note in class that had words on it like, and stuff like that. And this poor kid's in tears. He's bawling. He's crying and everything. That's why I said to the guys, look, I don't care what words you know. You're going to learn them all. There's places where you don't use them. You don't use them in front of your mother. You don't use them in front of your sister. You don't use them in front of your female classmates. Your teachers are going to bust you. And by the way, when you're in school, you're there to learn, to take a test, to learn the lesson, to do the do, not pass notes that contain such things as, yeah, okay, great. Now Craig's just anticipating. He's potting it up and throwing it down, potting it up, throwing it out. So I think that was a very healthy lesson coming from the scumbag stepdad. The scumbag, seen it all, done none of it, stepdad. We were going to have a prize fight here for crying out loud, and now we don't have the prize fight. Well, we're going to do the prize fight in the show. Don't worry about it. Got a very great heavyweight match coming up between God and Timothy McVeigh, Larry Merchant, George Foreman, and Slappy Brown ringside to bring you all the action. Slappy, a great commentator, went 0-106 in his career, never won a fight. Brains completely beat out of his ears, but he's going to be there. Also, we want to tell you about our number one rated, I guess we need the music for this. Yes, the number one rated Phil Henry Show, Best of the Year 2000 CD and album. Get the picture disc, get the CD. You can call the number 877-61. Why is it depressing music? It's like, this is music for porn movies, and it's like a horror movie. Like a serial killer stalking somebody. $20 for the CD, $350 shipping and handling, Visa, MasterCard, check, Phil Henry Show.